We're joined right now by an offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers. He is a four-time All-Pro selection. He is a two-time Pro Bowler. He did not allow a sack from Week 10 on last season. He was the 109th pick overall in 2013 out of Colorado. We are joined right now by David Bakhtiari. David, it's great to have you on the program. How are you?
Doing good. That was an unbelievable intro.
Dude, you've had a pretty, I got to say, man, you've had a pretty good career. That's a proper intro for a proper player. What has the offseason been like for you and everybody around you, given how uncertain and how strange it's all been?
Really different, honestly. I would say the biggest thing is just having to adjust on the fly. This is new territory for everyone. So, I mean, at the height of all this back in, I'd say February, I was getting doing Zoom workouts and getting emailed remote workout plans and doing it at a buddy's in-home gym. Thankfully, he had one for an extended period of time just to make sure I was staying on top of everything I'm being taken care of during this offseason.
So, David, I'm curious, like the virtual offseason, what's that been like? I mean, is that kind of an inconvenience or is it actually kind of refreshing not to have to be at the facility all day every day?
I would say, I think I can speak on behalf of the older guys. I think it's been more refreshing because, you know, we've been through so many off seasons. We kind of know our bodies. We know what to do. Veterans, I think you feel more comfortable with how to build a program around yourself. So it's been pretty refreshing to just kind of be away from the facility longer, kind of be in your off season home. And I actually personally really enjoyed it. And it, for me, I think, it gave me the opportunity to really dive in on the mental side and really take that next step mentally. And I thought the Packers especially, they did a really good job integrating the course virtually. And I think that paid big dividends. And I think it showed with a bunch of people when we would get on our Zoom calls, hearing them talk about our offense and answering questions, I thought that guys kind of picked it up a little bit even quicker than they normally would as to being in an actual class because it felt a little more on the one-on-one teaching.
David Bakhtiari is joining us. I think that's really interesting what you just said. When you talked about how it enabled you to kind of work on the mental side, are you talking about getting more into the playbook, or are you talking about working on mental strength, mental toughness, just working on your head?
Yeah, it was really good. I think also the other thing, the intimacy of the virtual meetings. I mean, we were able to record our coaches they actually recorded their class teachings and I guess their insults. So you could watch it more than one time over, and then you would get quizzed on questions about certain things about the play, formation. So it really kind of helped you master each insult, which I thought was different compared to your staff. I think, in a normal classroom, it's not as intimate. You can kind of get away, with honestly not paying as much attention.
I hear you. We've all been there. Well, I haven't been there, but I have been in a classroom. I know what you're talking about. Now, you're coming off a season where you went to the NFC Championship game. When you get that close to a trip to the Super Bowl and it doesn't work out the way you'd like, how does that impact you going into the offseason? In other words, is the approach the same that it's always been? You just do what you do? Or is there even more motivation and more fuel to get back?
For me, it's approached it the same way. I've always been a firm believer in the saying, control what you can control. I make sure I take care of my 111th on offense, because that's all I can control at the end of the day, and let the pieces fall where they may. Because on an instance, let's say we get back to that same situation, I want to make sure that my 111th is taken care of, and I don't try to do someone else's job, because at the end of the day, I need to trust that's what teammates for. I need to trust that they're going to do their job, and they need to trust in me that I'll take care of my job when called upon.
Now, you've said that Aaron Rodgers, for instance, is the most competitive person you've met. You're an extremely competitive guy yourself. So what is it about Aaron that sets him apart in that regard?
I would say for him, I want to make sure I articulate this right. He's so competitive. He's like that friend that, growing up, I think, in middle school, let's say you're at recess and you just spit. You're sitting on the bench, you just spit, and your friend spits further. He immediately takes that as a competition. Now he's going to make sure he's going to spit the furthest. Like, any little thing, he wants to make sure he's better at the other person. He will take the time and, really pick up the nuances and do the mental game behind it. Like, I'll even use it in, like, when we've talked about playing card games. It's so crazy seeing how quick he can pick up not only the rules of a new game he's playing, but also the certain strategies and things that, like, someone seasoned that had been playing that card game for a while, they need to learn through the errors and, like, the faults that they would do. He just picks up right, he picks up right away, and it really speaks to his not only his competitiveness, but his mental aptitude to really just cerebrally just dive into anything.
I think you articulated that very well. So let me say, to borrow a phrase from you, I want to be careful how I articulate this next point. I mean, I couldn't be a bigger fan of Aaron Rodgers. I could not respect the guy any more than I do. I think the guy's a genius. I think the guy's brilliant. I think he's a great player. He's all the things you just said. But if he's as competitive as you say, and I know he is, how did he take that chugging beatdown that you laid on him on the big stage? Did he roll with that, or did that bother him? Did he go to work after that?
I know it did bother him, but he, you know, in his own way, I think he tries to warp it to make it not seem like it did as much, because he's competitive, so he doesn't want people thinking that, oh, he got beat. In his mind, he wants to make sure he finds a new way, like, oh, I really didn't get beat, you know, it wasn't the type of drink I was going to do, or, you know, I didn't view it or see it as a competition. But, I mean, like I said, you know, the guy's a mental genius, so he can always find a way in his head to justify or make something work. But I know deep down it definitely bothered him of certain sorts.
I don't know, dude. I think he let you win. Like, he was just picking you up, right? You're the guy doing all the dirty work. You're protecting him. He let you win. He threw you a bone, right?
Exactly. Because then on the competitive side, that I'll then help him out on the back end. So it was almost like he did it for me.
Right, right. Like I said, we're playing checkers. He's playing chess. David Bakhtiari is joining us. Appreciate your thoughts on that. So what about, you only want to control what you can control. You certainly can't control the business of football. So when Brian Bulaga signs with the Chargers earlier in the offseason, again, you know it's a business, but how tough was it to see him go?
Really tough. You know, he was a great teammate and an even better friend off the field. You know, he had been with the Packers for a decade, had been there ever since I had even been drafted to the team and the organization. And, you know, he kind of taught me a lot. It helped me kind of come on, especially early as a rookie. So to see him not stay with the Packers, obviously, you know, I'm definitely sad about that. But I understand, you know, it's a business at the end of the day. The organization has one view of how they see the team. You know, Brian has his view on himself and where he sees his career. Obviously, those don't marry up, and I mean, that's just really that's the sad truth of, you know, our business.
Right, Dave. This is a story that goes back to your high school days. You played at Sarah High, and there's a story where at one point the head football coach there, Patrick Walsh, said he had a pretty direct conversation with you in the weight room. He says, "Quote, what he thought he was." And currently is, at that point in his life, he wasn't doing anything to actually match the confidence that he believed he was or is going to be, and I basically told him that, end quote. Is that how that conversation went? I mean, how do you remember how that talk went?
Pretty long story, and I actually do remember it pretty vividly, but I'll try to summarize it pretty quick.
Take your time.
we pretty much, I was my first year on varsity, and he wanted to talk to every single player on the team. So I had a 5-10 minute meeting. It was during dawn patrol, which is like a 6 a.m. workout. So it's about 6:15. He pulls me aside and asked me what my ambitions are for the team and for myself. And I told him, you know, I wasn't at all. I hadn't even really played in the game yet. I was a backup's backup. So I told him, you know, I want to contribute on scout team and eventually work some way on some special teams to contribute to the team as a whole. And then he said, I'm going to stop you right there, David. I want you to know, as long as I'm the head football coach of this football team, you'll never step foot on the field. And I kind of took that as a challenge instead of him just kind of putting me down. Like, all right, I'm going to make sure that this man believes I cannot contribute on the football field during an actual game. I'm going to make sure he eats his own words. So I took that, went back in the weight room, and, you know, a year later, he laughs about it, and we to this day we still talk about that conversation, and we laugh on it. And you know, it did mean a lot, because it was more of a challenge to me, because I would say, you know, mentally I wasn't, I think, strong enough or had it, the belief in myself that I can do this. I almost needed someone to tell me that I couldn't and light that fire for me to answer a challenge that I can do something, you know, for me and even something bigger than myself. And, you know, I think the next time he even noticed me was a year later. We were doing maxing week on bench, and I was like the second heaviest lifter. And he went to our starting quarterback, who had been there since he was the starting quarterback for 3 years, and he asked, "Who's that guy bench right there?" And then he told me it was David Bakhtiari, and he goes, "Wait, that's Bach?" And that was kind of the first moment he's like, "Wow, this kid's actually got a chance to play for my football team."
Huh. Why do you think he told you that? I mean, did he say that because he thought it was true, or was he trying to light a fire? That's a pretty heavy thing to drop on a kid.
You know, I think Coach Walsh, I think he's wise beyond his years. I think he knew what he saw the potential in me more than I could even believe in myself, and he was trying to draw it out of me. Because I do know that he had a side conversation with my parents without my knowledge, and he said, "Look, with your permission, I'd like to I want you to understand your son may come home and he may cry, he may say he wants to quit. I want you guys to support him and just trust me that I want to take your boy and give you back a man." And to hear that story later on, I think that really spoke volumes of him growing men of character and, you know, the maturity of kids from, you know, I was a 13-year-old freshman and I left a 17-year-old senior, so I was a little bit younger anyways compared to most of the kids in high school. So I thought that was pretty powerful to hear that. And, I mean, he honored it. And to this day, you know, he's someone that I've kept in close contact with, and I'd say we're pretty close, you know, not only from a coach-to-player relationship, but also just friend-to-friend.
I think that's an amazing story. David Bakhtiari is joining us for a few more moments. So, David, let me ask you this. You're a California guy. You're a California native like me. We sent our son to the University of Wisconsin for his first year. I actually bought some real estate in Wisconsin. People don't really understand. I mean, you as a California guy can help me describe this, or maybe not. Like, what do you make of the state? What's it like to live and work in Wisconsin for that part of the year?
You know, I went to school in Boulder, Colorado, so I kind of got pre-acclimated to the weather.
Right.
But I would definitely say, weather aside, you know, Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is northern Wisconsin, is definitely different just because of how rural it is. But yeah, the winter-wise, I mean, it gets cold, and it's more of a – I even thought I was used to cold until I experienced one true cold winter. It's cold, cold. It's like especially if there's a little bit of wind – It pierces right through your skin. It's bone chilling. But, you know, I'm organically insulated, I like to say. So I actually enjoy colder weather. So at this point, you know, I mean, when I go back to California, when it gets above 75, 80, I'm like, man, it's too hot out here.
Right. I got you. Listen, before you go, despite the numbers you put up and how you've dominated, you don't always get the Pro Bowl love. Do you feel like your game gets the respect that it deserves around the league?
You want me to be political, or do you want me to answer how I feel?
Answer how you feel, big dog. That's how we do it around here.
Yeah, I mean, I got to go in the middle. It is what it is. Guys maybe don't want to give me the Pro Bowl status, and that is voted on by fans and by players. And maybe I'm not everyone's – as a player, I'm not everyone's friend. And, you know, for me, I did used to really care about that, and now I got to the point, it doesn't really matter. I don't care. I play the game because I love it. I like to dominate people because I enjoy the challenge and to push myself. And for me, you know, I really care about what my quarterback thinks, my running back thinks, my head coach, or my offensive line coach, my head coach, and my organization for that I'm working for. So when they appreciate and that's what, and they enjoy what I'm putting out there on the field, the other accolades that come in, that's fantastic. You know, I always will appreciate them. But, I mean, if you don't, I mean, I guess that's just your loss at the end of the day if you don't want to appreciate what I'm doing out there.
See, that's a good answer. I like that. I respect that. And then the flip side of that, at the Combine this year, a number of offensive linemen were asked who they patterned themselves after, and a number said you. Now, I know you're not looking to become or are going to become complacent, but what's it mean to you to hear from guys coming into the league that they look up to you and they pattern their games after you?
I would say the first word that comes to mind is flattered. To be a fourth-round pick, a day-three guy that was considered to be maybe a backup, a serviceable backup to have, you know, these young kids that are coming out of college, you know, asking who they want to model their game after, and they're saying my name. It's flattering. It's a humbling, really, and it kind of just, for me, just kind of reinforces, you know, my process and what I'm doing day in and day out, not just what I put out on Sunday, but my drive, my fire is, you know, it's working and to keep it going because, you know, people are noticing, people are appreciating, and, you know, for me, you know, personally, I do it for myself and my career and for my life, but it's nice, you know, if that can rub off on other people and to see them, you know, flourish into themselves and maybe take a piece of what I do, both on and off the field, and make them the better version of themselves. I think that's fantastic. And really, I mean, it's, you know, maybe when I'm done playing, I'll reflect on that a little bit more. But I don't want to get too into that right now. I'm still working.
I know. I respect that. I get it. You're in it still. A four-time All-Pro, a two-time Pro Bowler, did not allow a sack after Week 10. He was the 109th pick overall in 2013 out of Colorado. David, I've talked about you a lot on the program. It's great to finally get you on the program. I appreciate you doing that, man. That was a blast.
I was too. Hey, I appreciate it. Thank you very much for having me on. Big Good. Fan.
Yeah, you too. Big fan. David Bakhtiari, he's a hell of a player. He is a damn good player. And even though he kind of sort of started to suggest it, I'll say it. No, he doesn't get enough respect. No, he doesn't get the respect he deserves from around the league. This guy is an elite talent. He is a complete package. I'm going to go as far as to say, I don't know that such a thing as a perfect left tackle exists, but this guy is as close to that if there is one. That was a blast. I've been wanting to talk to him for a long time. Really good to have him on the show.